Brother Ray, come up here and give us your testimony, if you would, please, brother.
That brother knows how to put a man in the spot.
Always.
Well, me and Jim go back about 35 years ago. And I originally was Catholic, okay, not what you would call a devout practicing Catholic, but, you know, every Catholic is ignorant, you know. They think that they're the one that started this whole ball rolling as far as the Lord's churches. But anyhow, from there I ended up in a Pentecostal church, and then with my wife's sister asked her, you know, if we wanted to come. So anyway, there's a lot in between about my lifestyle, the way I live, streets, gang banging, you know, all them days, you know, did a lot of really bad things. And I knew that it was a coming time that something was missing. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea. I just thought I was having a bad day, you know. Well, anyhow, finally I went to Pentecostals for a while there. So there was about 6-7 months. And then one day my brother and his wife Cindy invited me to New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. You know, and to me at that time, of course, when you don't know anything, you know, every church is the same, you know. All roads lead to Rome, like they say, you know. Well, I learned something the day I went there. I don't know. When you get a guy that doesn't know anything, can barely, you know, I wasn't totally literate, but read, was just a lazy reader, so to speak. You know, there was something that just transpired the very first day I went to New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. I have to give that all to the Lord, that he gave me a curiosity about something that was completely different than Pentecostalism, you know. And so I kind of stayed there, and I told my wife, well, we'll go back and forth, you know. We never did go back, ever. The first day we went to New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, I stuck there. And I think the Lord stuck me there. I can look back now and see how God was working, you know. And so I stayed there. Of course, I was a very inquisitive guy, you know. I listened to some of the old tapes that I've had. I got over 1,000 tapes that I had from Jim Phillips from New Hope. And some of the questions I used to ask, man, you're talking about a child, man, alive. Such simple questions, you know, but... And I never understood how Jim understood what I was even talking about, because I had this language, you know, street talk. I said, how do you understand what I even ask you? So I filtered through all that, brother. So he was always able to answer my question. But anyhow, so eventually I got to a point that I was, something was definitely wrong, you know, something was definitely wrong. I didn't know what it was, and one day I thought I lost my wallet. We went over there, couldn't find it, came back, and I asked him, Jim, you got a little bit of time? I said, what's up? I said, well, I don't know. So we talked and talked and talked, and he asked me my experience of so-called salvation, and I told him what happened that day. On a Thursday, from a Pentecostal group that came down there and did their thing, you know, I said, well, after I gave him my testimony, I said, Ray, you're not saved. I said, well, that's all I want to know, you know, because I know something's missing. You know, I look at these people who come to church here, you know, they got a whole different glow about them, you know. I better explain that better now than I did back then, you know. My vocabulary has increased a little bit. So anyhow, and so I said, you know, I look at these people, they look like they want to be there. I'd like to go there, but, you know, you just felt good because you're in church, you're not out there doing anything that you shouldn't be doing. So I felt comfortable as far as that, but something was missing. So finally we got down to the nitty-gritty and use two passages of scriptures, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Ephesians 2 and 8, and you explain to me what those are and what has to happen. If this is between you and God, Ray, I said, you have to ask God to forgive you for rejecting his son as your personal savior. And so I said, okay, I can do that. And so I remember bowing my head for about a microsecond. I picked and said, how do you talk to somebody you don't see? I never prayed. Hardly ever, even when I never realized, I never even prayed when I was in the Pentecostal ranks. I just never did. I never prayed as a Catholic. So I didn't know, you know, and he said, well, you just pray, he's listening. I guarantee you that. So I asked God to forgive me for rejecting his son. And then after that, I said, exactly, Lord, come into my life. In my life is a whole shambles. And that was it. Then I remember him asking me, I said, well, Ray, what do you think? And I remember how I responded, about what? You know, he said, about what we've been talking about. He says, do you think God heard you? Do you know that you're saved? And at that time, I told him, well, I have to go by what you say, brother. I said, you said, if I confess with my mouth, which I did, and believe it by faith, I said it, you know. So I had to assume that's what it takes. Didn't feel like a lot of fireworks. So we talked. He gave me a little heads up. Okay, your life might be a little different after this day, brother. You may have things coming your way that you never expected. Old friends are going to pop up, and he just gave me kind of a quick brief about what may or may not happen. Well, I won't go into all that, but it did. But anyhow, after we talked and he left, I got out there in front of my yard, and I said, son of a gun. And I was standing there. It was 11:30 at night on a Sunday, standing out there looking around. There was no breeze, but it felt like a breeze blowing. And I felt like I was so happy inside, like a whole big load just taken off my back. I wanted to yell out, and I said, man, I better not, man. 11:30 at night, they'll call me up for disturbing the peace or something, you know. So I was couldn't retain myself, so my wife was asleep. And all my boys were asleep. So I said, well, so I told her in the morning what had happened. But after that, of course, I knew two things. I had to be saved, and the other one is to serve God, okay. And so I made known to the church there that I wanted to be a member of the church and to serve God in my life, you know. And that's when it all happened. So I stayed there with Brother Jim for a length of time. I had a really great beginning as far as learning because we used to study Western civilization. We studied a little bit of Greek. Of course, all of it was going in my head, but I loved it. Like I should tell Brother Jim Phillips, you know, I used to sit on the edge of my seat in the pews that we had there. Just all ears, you know, open-minded, trying to understand things that he was talking about, things I never heard in my life. And so I stayed under his teaching for a good length of time there, and I really enjoyed it. So I had a really good foundation to begin with. You know, like Jim talked about the three elements of a true bona fide salvation by grace, the intellect, the emotion, and the active part. Well, those work in two different directions. Talk works in salvation of a true bona fide salvation by grace, and the other one, a true commitment in serving God. Get the right intellectual right, get that going, the rest will follow suit. So I got the right intellect, you know, and I worked hard at it. I worked hard to try to learn what Brother Jim was teaching. And so, like I said, and that nourished me for that short time that I had him, and I lost him for like 25 years. Reunited. Because I've been praying to the pastor that I had before. He had Alzheimer's. He was my only fellowship I had as far as anybody had any basic understanding of anything. Well, he was gone, so basically by myself there. So I studied, went to a lot of my tapes that I had from old, studied my own books and you know, things that I studied on my own. And finally, one day out of blues, I called to this church for various purpose and reason. And anyhow, it all got turned around, so I ended up, he ended up calling me after I hung up, and he called me. And I said, who's this? This is Jim Phillips. Jim Phillips. Really? And I said, wow. And so we talked for about an hour and a half after that, after almost more than 25 years of not seeing or talking to him in all these years. And we've been reconnected for the last 4 months now, and it's been a real great venture again. To be reunited to an old friend, because he means a lot to me. He's the one that's responsible, through the aid of the Holy Spirit, of course, that I come to know Christ, and to become a member of the Local New Testament Church. He's the one that baptized me. So my great beginning has been there ever since. Ever since then, I sought out people with great intelligence in Scriptures. They knew what they're talking about. I didn't like being your typical Missionary Baptist Church and hear salvation Sunday after Sunday, you know, Wednesday after Wednesday. You know, that gets old real quick. I don't need that, but Jim always seemed to keep a balance on teaching those that are at this level, some at this level, and some down here, and those that are no level. So he always had an ability to hit his whole audience, okay? And that's what I always felt comfortable because I was way down here. You know, like the Bible says, I've taken the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. Boy, God does miracles. I know there's a God because I'm here today, you know, through some good teaching, the aid of the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for every day of my life. And I told Jim, and I can tell everybody, I'm still on the honeymoon. I'm still on the honeymoon with the Lord. It never quit. Never. And hopefully one day they will ultimately meet that good, bright relationship, walk down the aisle. Anyhow, that's my testimony, and I tell you one thing. You guys have had Brother Jim Phillips for, 20 years or so? You guys had him all this time. I'm trying to catch up. But man, he's got me so loaded down with tapes and CDs and DVDs. And my goodness, I'm running out of room in my office. I said, man, brother, I don't know if I got any more. I said, man, a lot, brother. I said, I got 30 years of studies here. I said, let's just slow it down. So I listened to cassettes at one time. I listened to CDs another time. And then I look at audio. So
now, what happened this morning on the website?
Well, this morning I got on it because I was going to look at the lesson you guys studied last Sunday to get up to speed for this class. And it wasn't coming on. I tried both websites. And I got back and said, what the heck? I said, no. I kept trying and trying, refreshing. It would come on. Oh, my goodness. I stopped praying. I seriously started praying. I said, Lord, I know they're trying to shut him down, Lord. Please, let that not be the case. So anyhow, I got ready and got dressed, and I went back with him and tried it again. And there it is again. Oh, thank you, Lord. So anyhow, says, I really enjoy my brother here, and it's good to be reunited with him again. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ray. I hope that was an inspiration to you all these years. He's an inspiration to me. I love to see, you know, the world takes your children from you, doesn't it, many times. Doesn't world, and some of you haven't experienced that yet. But the world takes your children from you. They'll take your wives, your husbands, whatever. They'll take it. The world will do it. But I'm going to tell you something. When the world takes something from you, the Lord gives it back tenfold. That's my son. That's my son. That's my brother. That's it all. That's it. You know, and you are. These are God's gift to me. You are God's gift to me. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Jason.